This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Full windup by Clemens. And a swing on hit high in the air, deep to center field, way back it may go. Gone! A grand slam! A grand slam! Mike Piazza!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Let's get right into it, man. I'm not going to waste a lot of time because I want to do a quick open here. Breaking news. This isn't what I was planning on doing. Breaking news in the NFL world. As we all know, if you don't have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. The Las Vegas Raiders have traded with the Seattle Seahawks for former Jets quarterback, former Giants quarterback, Geno Smith. Shout out to Geno. They tried to write him off, but he didn't write back. That's my guy. That's why I would love to see Geno Smith. Back in 2018, when I worked at Roc Nation, I got to work with him as he was a Roc Nation athlete, and he didn't care anything about what I had to say because my job was to do social media. My job was digital marketing. My job was to, hey, how do we work on your digital brand? He wasn't working on his digital brand. He was working on his game. He's a football guy. This guy now gets a great opportunity to reunite with Pete Carroll, to be under Tom Brady's regime, to play in Chip Kelly's offense. And there were some words out there, I think, earlier this week about Russell Wilson reuniting with Pete Carroll. That does not happen. Obviously, this impacts the draft. The Raiders are picking at number 6, right ahead of your New York Jets. And many think that they will take Shedeur Sanders if he slips that far. Will they now with Geno Smith? 888-808-1019. Geno Smith is 34 years old. Tyrod Taylor, I think, is the same age. Tyrod Taylor is 35 years old. So, I don't know, man. Wow. Also, more breaking news. Shams just reported. Shams Charania. Shams reports the New York Knicks star Jalen Brunson is expected to miss at least 2 weeks with a right ankle sprain. So I'm going to juggle both of these things. Let me close the Geno Smith stuff and get into the Knicks stuff because that is more important to us here in New York. I was going to open Knicks so that works out, that we actually get somewhat of a timetable. It's a right ankle sprain. And there's just a lot to unpack with the Knicks and what is about to happen. And we probably won't talk about the Knicks until later tonight when they're on. So with Geno Smith, congrats to Geno. Let me try and get the details here on the trade. The Raiders make this trade. They give up a 2025 third round pick. That's a good deal for a solid quarterback. He's, you know, Geno going into the dome. Geno with something to prove. We'll get to that. But this obviously, like I said, has implications for the draft. This has implications in this quarterback carousel. You know, it's Aiden O'Connell, Geno Smith out there, and they may or may not draft a quarterback. I would assume they're not going to try and draft a quarterback, at least not with their first overall pick. Brock Bowers. Okay, 888-808-1019. If you do want to react to Geno Smith, if you're thinking about who the Jets are going to have at quarterback, who the Giants are going to have at quarterback. He's a former Jets and Giants quarterback. Now he goes to, I think, his sixth team. Yeah, he played for the Chargers, played for Seattle, played for the Jets, played for the Giants, played for the Raiders, maybe 15, I don't know. Either way, the New York Knicks. I was on last night when the news, or not news, when the injury happened. And when you're watching a game live like that and you see a guy going for 40 points, you see the leader of the team, the captain of the team, the face of the franchise, the guy that took less money for the Knicks, and the guy that is their only option late in games to close out games when it's winning time, go down like that, it just sucks. Like, overtime, they had a double-digit lead going into the fourth, and then that turned into a 8-point lead, and you just knew. And, you know, you got Luka and you got LeBron, and the Lakers win 8 in a row, but that game was so vital and so crucial potentially for the Knicks to take, and they weren't able to take it. So you add insult to injury now, and you lose Brunson, and I'm not sure where Knicks fans are at. I know last night the Knicks fans that I talked to were just kind of stunned, couldn't sleep, couldn't think straight, because obviously you're dealing with the fact that the Knicks can't beat the top teams, the elite teams, you know, coming off of a loss to the Warriors. And we'll talk about Draymond Green in a second. That's something I definitely wanted to do in this quick open. Basically, with the Knicks here, you can only hope for a silver lining. You can only hope that without Brunson for the next 2 weeks, which, hey, I had said last night 10 to 14 days, and then I had looked at the Knicks' schedule, he's not going to obviously play at all on this road trip out west. They may very well lose all of these games out west with the Clippers, Kings, Trailblazers, and Warriors, but then in 10 days, when the Knicks return home against the Heat, I don't think you rush him at this point. Where I'm going with this is, it's not like you're jockeying for position, a higher seed. And the silver lining might be that if you do lose some games here, if they're not able to figure it out, because they don't have, I mean, with Karl-Anthony Towns, he's going to have to take over. But Mikal Bridges has been garbage. Just like, I mean, he's not what you hope for with what you gave up for him. He hasn't been good enough. He's been timid. He doesn't score. He doesn't get to the foul line. He's been a disappointment. And without Brunson, he's the captain. He's the leader of the team. 888-808-1019. So let's say they do lose more games than they win down the stretch here, and then they do fall into the four spot, or maybe even the five spot. And the silver lining would be that you potentially duck the Celtics. Well, let's start with the first round. If it's a first round matchup against the Bucks or the Pacers, and Brunson comes back rested a little bit and healthy, you feel like you can defeat either one of those teams, whoever it may be. And then in the second round, if you're facing the Cavaliers, yes, they've had a great regular season, but, you know, Kenny Atkinson and these guys, they got to do it in the playoffs, and the playoffs are a different monster. I don't know, man. It seems bleak. 888-808-1019. And it seems bleak because, you know, the Knicks are catching strays all kinds of ways. Obviously, Mikal Bridges and people trolling him. And then Karl-Anthony Towns comes back last night. But, like, I got a real problem with Draymond Green. And I feel like as fans and media members, a lot of people did come out and speak out against Draymond Green. I did it last night. I played his audio. And collectively, we need to keep coming out and like, piling on this guy. This guy went on his podcast and suggested that Karl-Anthony Towns was ducking smoke. Like, he was afraid to be on the floor with Jimmy Butler. Like, he wasn't on the floor with Jimmy Butler when they played Miami and he dropped 40. Like, this wasn't years and years ago, the fable of what happened in that practice with the Timberwolves. Who cares? These are grown men. And as a grown man, looking at Karl Anthony Towns supporting his girlfriend and going to a funeral of a friend who died from breast cancer, Draymond Green is foul. He shouldn't be supported. This is a guy that steps on people, kicks people in the nuts, chokes people. This is a guy that was suspended from the NBA, was supposed to get some type of treatment, counseling. This is a guy that wants to be a media member, but every time he gets in front of a mic, he's got a ridiculous take. And like, this one was out of bounds completely. This one didn't make any sense to me, because you could easily just check on the internet and anywhere and see, like, he was out for personal reasons, and his very popular girlfriend, Jordan Woods, put some stuff out there. Like, I just really didn't like that. I think Draymond needs to be checked, but he's uncheckable, right? This is a guy that punched a teammate in the face. You know, this is a guy that's been riding Steph Curry's coattails his whole career, and he thinks he can just say whatever he wants. And I'll say this before we go to break at 888-808-1019. Karl Anthony Towns shouldn't react to this. I hear a lot of people talking about, oh, you know, he should check Draymond, he should punch him in the face. Oh, they're going to see each other. Yeah, they are going to see each other, because the Knicks have to go to the Chase Center and face the Warriors on Saturday, March 15th. But what good is it going to do to get ejected or get suspended or do anything here? Karl Anthony Towns has to be the leader of the team with Brunson out if they're going to win games, stay afloat. But maybe they're not trying to do that. Who knows? Mitchell Robinson is out, and we know Cat is dealing with a knee, and we know the Knicks bench is short. And we know Tibbs is stuck in his ways, hard in his ways, in his rotations. Like, they're really going to have to adapt here. They're really going to have to figure some stuff out here. Or they may just lose a lot of games and fall in the standings. And maybe that's for the better as far as, you know, finding a way through these NBA playoffs to potentially dodge the Celtics in the second round. Maybe get the Cavs. But, you know, we can't act like the Cavs are sweet. Like, the Cavs are arguably the best team in the NBA. I know we like to say they haven't proven it in the playoffs, but they're really good. And as the injury bug has hit the Knicks, I say all the time, in the NBA, we always see different teams get affected. We don't know if the Cavs stay healthy. We don't know if the Celtics stay healthy. But right now, the Knicks are not healthy, and it's not looking good. 888-808-1019. Geno Smith has been traded from the Seattle Seahawks to the Las Vegas Raiders. Jalen Brunson is ruled out for the next 2 weeks at least. And Draymond Green is a sucker, but nobody can say anything to this guy. At least B. Diddy came out, right? At least, you know, because he was on the podcast with his co-host, Baron Davis. And Baron Davis came out and tweeted, no disrespect to Cat, condolences to his family, you know. But Draymond, of course, just wants to yap and run his mouth and get clicks and do his podcast. And he can't retire soon enough. All right, I can't break soon enough because I have a bunch of guests coming up tonight. Let's take a break. When we come back, I'll tell you who's going to join us. This is a five-hour KM to AM on The Fan. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here comes a throw home. He's going to be out at home. Oh, what a throw by Soto.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah. All right, we're in here. 888-808-1019. We're talking sports on The Fan. I like to talk about everything. I won't stay on one thing for too long. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, taking your calls and taking us through everything. Joining us tonight at 8:15 will be Laura Albanese. You've seen her on Baseball Night in New York. She covers the Mets for Newsday. And at 9:15, Connor Hughes will join us. Connor Hughes is a fellow Monmouth University grad like myself, and he covers the Jets and the Giants on SNY. Connor Hughes will probably weigh in on the Geno Smith move, and we'll certainly talk about Aaron Rodgers and Cam Ward and Shador Sanders and all the other good stuff coming in the new league year. And last but not least, I do not know all of these hockey players that have been moved around and traded. I'm going to need some help. Jonathan Davis, a.k.a. West Coast Hockey, will join us at 10:15 p.m. to talk about the NHL trade deadline. 888-808-1019. 101.9. You know, I started talking about Draymond, and I just, like, I hate people that have this, like, bully mentality and that are all about themselves and so, like, brash and uncheckable. You know, last night, after Steph Curry hits the three to put the Nets away, he does the, you know, go-to-sleep celebration, and he kind of does it towards Jordy Fernandez, the coach of the Brooklyn Nets. And then after the game, when somebody informed him, like, hey, you know, you're trending on Twitter, your comments on Karl Anthony Towns have made the rounds, like, you know, he was at a funeral. He's dealing with a death of a close family friend. He was supporting his girlfriend. Well, this was Draymond's response. He chose to, of course, plug his podcast. He said, oh, man, that's unfortunate. I'm sorry to hear that. That sucks. But my comments that I made was that it was what I heard. And that's what I heard. So I do send my well wishes to him and his family. We all experience death in one way or another. And we'll all experience it the same way one day. So it's unfortunate. You never wish that on anybody, but the Draymond Green Show with Baron Davis must go on. Like, he had to give you the full name. Carlos is in Queens on the Fan. Go for it, Carlos.
Hey, what's up? What's happening, Keith? Listen, man, I'll be honest with you. This guy, Draymond, you know, certain people is just, no matter what you do, how much you make or what it is, just they lower class people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Draymond, scum.
He could be in the NBA. He could be making hundreds of thousands of dollars, but at the end of the day, that guy is, like, that's the worst. I mean, like, you have no type of animosity or anything. Go back on your words. You're trying to, like, promote you who you are. It's like, certain people, man, it's like, you know, you can say whatever, but they always going to take devil's pie, you know what I mean? And I think, like, it's a shame because, you know, he has talent. Although he is a little dirty player, he reminds me a little bit of Rodman. But on a lower scale, like, that's just like, you know, like, kind of like a discount Rodman, you know, but can't take away he got skill. You know, he got a few chips under his belt thanks to Curry, but it's incredible how certain people just don't even care about death or nothing. It's just, it's a sad sight to see, I'll be honest with you.
Thanks for the call, Carlos. Yeah, it's just irresponsible, too, with his platform. Like, I understand, Draymond, you about the ugliest dude in the league, so you just mad at the world, but, like, he keeps getting these opportunities to be on TNT. He has his own podcast that's big. He keeps getting opportunities in the NBA. Like, Adam Silver had to check him, had to sit him down. He had to go away for a little while. Like, this guy's at the end of his career. He can't retire soon enough because he just brings negativity. He's got a laundry list of negativity. Just, he's got a low-light reel of things on the court. Like I said, swinging on a teammate, choking guys out, stepping on Sabonis, right? Swinging on Valanciunas. This is what he does, putting Gobert in a headlock. Like, if you watch the NBA, you know what Draymond is. But, like, he takes it off the floor, and in this thing, like we don't know. What happens if Karl Anthony Towns does want to check him, right? Because Karl Anthony Towns might feel some type of way and feel like, hey, they already question my toughness. You know, they already make fun of my voice. Like, Brunson is down. Like, I might have to do something here. I might have to give him an elbow. I might have to shove him. But like I said, I don't think that's the way to go. The NBA is obviously going to be looking for that. Draymond is looking for that. That's what exactly Draymond wants. Draymond is hoping that you get like that. He's hoping that you get tough like that. You get in his face. You know? 888-808-1019. And, you know, back to the Knicks, I just feel like this is a huge test for them. I don't see how they pass this test. Jalen Brunson is so much of the, like, bailout guy for that team. Even in these games that they've been winning close, like, they haven't been able to blow anybody out, but the games that they win close, they win it because Jalen Brunson wills them to victory. You know, Deuce McBride, he can't just go into the game and be Jalen Brunson. Guys on the bench, they barely contribute. Like, now, you know, you're going to see this game tonight, second half of a back-to-back, right? It already seems like Mikal Bridges is folding under the pressure all season. Now there's even more pressure. The noise gets even louder. The focus is even more on him. You know, OG has been pretty consistent, and I think he'll be fine. You know, Josh Hart had a big shot late in the game where it's like, okay, he needs to get his confidence back, scoring, shooting the ball, but I don't know where we are with the Knicks. I think they're going to try to compete and win, which they could end up losing anyway. I also think that, you know, it might be a silver lining for them to just take a couple L's, fall in the standings, and let the chips fall where they may, see who's healthy, see who they draw. Like, we have been pretty much reserved to they're going to be the three seed, they're going to be the three seed, they're going to be the three seed. It might be better for them to fall into that 4-5 spot and draw the Bucks or the Pacers in the first round, and then in the second round, potentially face the Cavaliers, who, you know, the narrative is they haven't done it in the playoffs yet. There's familiarity there. The Knicks had knocked them out, and, you know, can they turn it on in the playoffs? Will they be what they've been, you know, in the regular season? 888-808-1019. You know, as the Geno Smith stuff has come out too, and I'm just reading reaction and stuff online, with Geno Smith's age and with the fact that, like, this is a new regime completely for the Raiders, we've been doing a lot of talk here in New York about having, you know, Aaron Rodgers as the stopgap and drafting a young quarterback, or having Tyrod Taylor there and drafting a young quarterback, having a veteran in the room that a young guy can learn from. I wouldn't rule out the Raiders drafting a quarterback still. It's a quarterback-driven league, and, you know, Geno Smith at 34, I don't know. They're probably not this regime. I can't call it, though, because Pete Carroll is old. How long is Pete Carroll going to coach? We don't know what they're going to do. We can't rule out that, okay, they got Geno Smith. Like, that's just a smart move. They've had some of the worst quarterback play in the league. You know, they just told Gardner Minshew to hit the road. They can't be relying on Aiden O'Connell. Like, these dudes actually picked up and started Desmond Ridder. Desmond Ridder is arguably the worst quarterback that has taken snaps in the last couple years in the NFL. 888-808-1019. Still going through, you know, all the releases and cuts. Again, Connor Hughes will join us at 9:15 to talk NFL. But breaking news, Geno Smith is traded from the Seattle Seahawks to the Las Vegas Raiders for a 2025 third-round pick. And so now you start to wonder whether the Raiders will use their 6th overall pick on a Shador Sanders or try to trade up, or what's going to happen there. But at least now they have an actual NFL quarterback in the building. 888-808-1019. Connor is in Monmouth County on the Fan in New York. What's up, Connor?
Keith, what's going on, man?
You know, a lot of things kind of moving around tonight. Going to talk about them, though.
Absolutely. You're making 07712 proud. appreciate you being.
Sure thing.
For sure. Yeah. I want to get off Draymond, because this is exactly what he wants, is everyone talking about him being the bully. But we've known for years.
Yep, you're right. I just plugged his podcast a bunch of times.
Yeah, but everyone's been doing it all day, so it's not you. I just want to put like a little bit of a light note on everything. I'm 26 years old. I don't remember much. I'm a lifelong Giants fan. I know you're a Dallas Cowgirl fan. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry as well. Yeah, I can't shake it. People don't forget.
Absolutely not. My dad's been splitting seasons since the 80s, and I was going through some Giants stuff, trying to make myself a little happy with what's been going on. But I saw a calendar from 1999 of Tiki Barber wearing like the fake LT, like totally blacked out visor, and I've never seen that before on Tiki. And I just wanted to get your comment if you remember him ever wearing that, because I even showed it to my pops. And he was like, I don't even remember Tiki wearing that, you know?
In a game?
It was actually on the, if you look up the 99, what they gave out to the fans, or it must have been season ticket holders. I think it was September. He's wearing a black, it was on a big blue VCR. I saw the tweet out, and I actually looked in my dad's calendars, and he had it. And I've never seen Tiki wearing the blacked out visor, the fake LT, you know? So I just wanted to get your take on that. Thank you, bro. I'll let you hang up and listen.
Thanks for the call, Connor. Yeah, I'm trying to visualize it. I feel like maybe I have, you know, because Tiki wore the 2-bar, 3-bar face mask, the 2 bars up top, the 3 across the grill. And, you know, picturing him with the visor, you picture like LaDainian Tomlinson, you picture like Clinton Portis. I don't know. I'm sure Tiki tried it at some point, 1999. I should have told Connor, tag me on Twitter if you use Twitter. What do you say? 1999 Jets like giveaway or Giants giveaway? I don't know. Tiki, call in and tell us what made you put the visor on. Was it a Oakley coming out with those? Was it a sunny day? Was it a cool thing? Did you get poked in the eye through your face mask and say, no more of this? Vinny out on Long Island. What's up, Vinny? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
I'm good, in here watching NBA Countdown, probably get the Devils on.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On, going to host the show as well.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I actually called in. I don't usually call to talk hockey, but, Brock Nelson, I'm a big Islander fan, and Brock Nelson was traded today. And, I think it was a really good move for the Islanders. They do have to get a little bit younger. I actually would have liked to have seen them make a couple other moves and cash in on some resources that they have that are depreciating. Brock Nelson was a great Islander, and I think about I'm 36 and grew up with some really bad Islander teams, and my dad and I had season tickets at the Coliseum as it was falling apart, and they went through some pretty tough years, and obviously Tavares got there and he was a big part of the turnaround, but Brock Nelson was a huge part of that, and he showed up every night. Guy played hard. Great professional, and really would hope to see his jersey up in the rafters someday, because I look up there, I see all the guys that were before my time, but I really feel that Brock Nelson was one of my guys who actually stuck around. So sad to see him go, but definitely a good move for the Islanders.
Yeah, and, end of an era.
I can make just one more point. Yeah, for sure. And when it comes to the NFL draft, I'm a big Jets fan, and I do I look at their positioning right now. Obviously, not great positioning, but understand it would take a big haul to get up to one or two to get one of these quarterbacks. But I think that where this franchise is stuck in the mud, especially with the new regime, and having some resources and having some, some chips to play around with, I think this is the time to go all in and make that move if you really like one of these quarterbacks. And just want to hear what you think about that, and have a great night.
Thanks for the call, Vinny. I don't know, there's a lot of reports saying that they're comfortable with Tyrod Taylor and giving him a shot. This might be one of Tyrod Taylor's last opportunities to start in the NFL. But like you said, right, it's a new regime, and I know people already are very critical of them for moving on from Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams and how they've kind of handled these early on moves, but I feel like these were necessary moves that they had to make. If they're able to trade up to go get a Cam Ward, go for it, or Shedeur Sanders, go for it, because, I've been saying these last couple weeks about the Giants, how long they've waited here to do, their due diligence to get their own quarterback. You know, they inherited Daniel Jones and then fell into, giving him a big contract. You got to complete the Holy Trinity, GM, head coach, quarterback. You want those three guys to be rocking together. And if you could start in year one and have a veteran like Tyrod Taylor there and even have another guy waiting in the wings like Jordan Travis, go ahead and go for it. But there's so much conversation about this draft class not being that deep with quarterbacks and these guys at the top of the draft, even including a Jackson Dart, not being surefire, can't-miss prospects. So it's a huge risk. If you're coming in and the first thing you do is give up capital to go get a Shedeur Sanders or a Cam Ward and they don't pan out, then you're going to start off behind the eight ball. Like, I don't know. I do think they should be somewhat reserved here. I do think that they can wait to draft the quarterback in this draft, a young quarterback, and just take the best available. They have other holes. They have other needs. Take the best available at seven and then see what quarterbacks fall in the second round. And if you want to jump on a young guy to bring in with your new regime then, I think that's just a better way to go about it. I think it's a huge gamble and roll of the dice coming in as a new GM and new head coach and saying, yep, we're going for it. Like, it's not like last year's draft, where there was four or five guys that played in the NFL last year that are going to be franchise quarterbacks. Like, it wasn't like that class where you're like, oh, we got to try and get a Jaden Daniels or a Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr., Caleb Williams, Drake May. I think this is a draft where you sit back. And I think this is a free agency where, we'll talk about it with Connor Hughes a little bit. The word on the street with Justin Fields is that he doesn't want to stay in Pittsburgh because he doesn't trust them. He doesn't trust that they're going to give him the opportunity to be the starter. He probably saw what happened to my guy Kenny Pickett, right? Kenny Pickett got drafted over there, thought that he was going to be the outright starter, and they kind of played around with him. That's how Kenny, got upset, and they ended up trading him to the Eagles. And then Kenny gets to live his dream as a guy that grew up as an Eagles fan. He gets to go all the way to the Super Bowl, get in the Super Bowl, and win a Super Bowl with the Eagles, even as a backup. That's still pretty cool. Steelers weren't getting there. But what I'm saying is Justin Fields, there's been a lot of rumors of reuniting him and Garrett Wilson with the Jets. And I think he could come in and beat out Tyrod Taylor. So, I'd keep an ear to the street with that. Maybe you bring in Justin Fields, have him compete with Tyrod, and draft a quarterback a little bit later. Mike is in Clifton Park, New York on the Fan. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going? So listen, I want to give Carl Anthony Towns and Leon Rose a little love. So I know he was out for personal reasons, Carl Anthony Towns, and at the time, we didn't really know why, and I looked up that his mom actually got sick 4 years ago in March with COVID, and a month later, she passed away. But I know it turned out he was out for other reasons.
But thank you for bringing that to the forefront. Like, death anniversaries are really tough, and that combined with having to go to the funeral and mourning the loss of a friend, like, that's a lot for a guy to process and handle.
Yeah, it is. And I want to give Leon Rose some love, too, because, listen, the hardest thing to do is to get a 1A to your 1. And he took a big risk. He traded big pieces of weight to get Cat, but now they have Brunson and Cat. And I remember so many years Patrick Ewing didn't have anyone next to him with that level of talent. It may have cost the Knicks this year because their bench is wiped out. But that was a move you had to make. So maybe one step back a little bit, but they have to reinforce in the offseason, and let's go from there. And thanks, Keith, for the time. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Mike. You know what I was having a conversation with one of my homies about? I always bring this up on air, too. The law of the garden. And I know it's not a real thing, but we always talk about what comes up must come down, or one goes up and the other comes down. And, like, what if this is the year that the Johnnies make it to the Final Four? What if this is the year they win the tournament, the Big East tournament, and then they make a run to the Final Four, and, like, New York is hyper-focused on them and rallying around St. John's? And the Knicks kind of use this year as a building block year, which, you know, very early in the season, I'm like, I don't see them winning this year. It's a new team. It's so much of a new group, right? It's you add Karl Anthony Towns after you add Mikal Bridges and the departure of some other guys. And, like, you know, I'm like, it's such a new group. They don't have the chemistry to rock with some of these other teams like the Cavs, like the Celtics, like OKC, or even, like, you know, obviously, like, when you look at Luka and Bron, yeah, they're new together, but they're two of the, like, greatest in the game, and they figured out very quickly how to play together. But when you look at OKC or Boston, like, Boston has guys that they drafted and developed. Those guys know where they are on the floor. I just feel like this year for the Knicks was hyped as championship, right? We got the last Infinity Stone. I said last night we thought Mikal Bridges was the last Infinity Stone. Turns out he's just a rhinestone. Go ahead, Paulie.
Yeah, no, I mean, in that case, like, Bridges is nowhere close. He's maybe a third guy or fourth guy on a top team, maybe. But if
I would trade his ass, I might consider getting him up out of here and be right. Like, hey, we messed up, but we can do better.
Well, the issue that the Knicks have, and if you're the Knicks, do you even want Jalen Brunson playing before the postseason?
No, for what?
Probably not, right? No, you want to bring him back a week, 2 weeks before so he gets his legs under him? That's fine. But
two games.
You make sure that dude is healthy as can be for the postseason. And Karl Anthony Towns is going to have to go through the same thing, because whatever he's going through personally, that's one thing. His knee has been messed up for a real long time. And now with no Jalen Brunson, that dude's a gamer. He's going to want to play. And a lot of pressure mentally and physically, which is more important, is going to be put on Karl Anthony Towns the next 2 to 3 weeks.
And what if, you know, with the stress and the pressure and playing harder, he tweaks his knee and you lose him. Then you pack it up completely, like the Mavericks right now.
And on top of that, Josh Hart's going to get banged up. That dude just goes crazy. So the Knicks are going to have a massive, massive situation coming up. We're not even focused on can they win or can they lose. Can they stay healthy enough, which is what everyone says. Now, this has nothing to do with Tom Thibodeau. But what everyone says about Tom Thibodeau coach teams is they're never healthy enough to win in the postseason. They can never stay healthy. He runs his guys in the ground. This, that, the other thing. Is this going to happen again?
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. Like, Brunson, we all saw it. He got hurt stepping on Austin Reeves and his foot cranked. That's got nothing to do with minutes. That's just...
Totally agree with that. Obviously, nothing to do with Tibbs. But that is a weird factor that every single time it happens. Every single year.
It happens in the NBA, period. Like, I just mentioned the Mavericks. I remember jokingly calling the Mavericks, the Dallas Mav Knicks. You know, Kyrie just tore his ACL stepping on Valanciunas. And people wanted to come out and say, oh, it's Jason Kidd's fault for playing him too many minutes after they traded Luka. Well, you had to do that one. And that's not an injury that comes from fatigue. That's a fluke injury by not landing properly. I don't know. 888-808-1019. We got to take a break right here. When we come back, man, I'm going to sprinkle in that Juan Soto conversation. I'm getting so tired of it already. How long is it going to take? You know, I heard Big Mac say about Saquon Barkley, like, how long until Saquon Barkley is an Eagle and we can stop talking about him as a Giant? Like, now I'm starting to feel that with Juan Soto. How long until Juan Soto is a Met and we can stop talking about Juan Soto's one measly year as a Yankee? I know it wasn't measly. He had a great year. It was third in MVP voting and they went to the World Series. But I'm telling you, in 5-10 years, we're not going to be harping on that. Or will we? Some Yankee fans will. Keith McPherson on The Fan. I'll be right back. I don't hate the Mets,
These are my Mets.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Mattingly swings and he has a drive to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Back to back. Nina belly to belly.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yo, 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 yo. Right back at it on The Fan in New York. 101.9 FM. And streaming on the free Odyssey app. Your nighttime host, Keith McPherson, taking calls, talking sports. Gonna bring in a few guests in about a half hour. Laura Albanese will join us to talk Mets. She was at the Mets House pop-up today. I thought about going. I was in the city today, but I literally was in the city today with a pinstripe Yankee hat on, a Yankee shirt, Yankees hoodie, my Yankee jacket. And I'm like, I want to see what this pop-up Mets team store activation looks like. But I can't go over there like this. I'm not that guy. But I am the guy to bring up this Juan Soto stuff. So this was Juan Soto week, right? Again, every week is Juan Soto week. What are we talking about? It's been Juan Soto. Juan Soto is the song that does in and him and Aaron Rodgers, right? But I say this was Juan Soto week because this was a week where the rivalry kicked back up over Juan Soto. Just when you think Yankee fans are over it, just when you think, you know, you've seen Juan Soto in the Mets uniform, seen some spring training games, he's a Met. Juan Soto is a Met. It's real. This is his team forever. He's home. First, we get the report from Andy Martino that Juan Soto said he misses the Yankees and enjoyed his experience and whatever. I don't know. I didn't hear no audio, so if I don't hear Juan Soto say it, then I guess I'll take your word for it. But I'm not really playing that much into that one. So I didn't spend much time on that this week, but who cares? Then Juan Soto misplays a ball in right field last night. And Yankees Twitter could not wait to say, told you, he can't field. DH, we're not going to miss this. And I'm like, yep, here come the Mets fans with Cope, salty. Cry. And I actually took Juan Soto's side. I'm like, hey, come on. Like, I know Juan Soto's going to give us plenty bloopers over the next 5 years that he's in right field, in City Field. But this one, I'm like, that ball was smoked. It's spring training. The guy's not going balls to the wall, literally running into the wall to make that play. He misread it, yeah, but so what? Yankee fans, the amount of Yankee fans, I had to mute the tweet. Yankee fans that, like, couldn't catch a fly ball. Damn near, like, probably couldn't, you know, catch a pop-up. That ball was smoked. Like, telling you, oh, look at his feet. Look at all these. Everybody turns into a major league coach when it comes to, you know, grading Juan Soto's performance. And I'm like, this is going to suck. Juan Soto's got to be perfect. Everything Juan Soto does in this city now, he's got half the city rooting for him to fail. 888-808-1019. So this was Juan Soto week to fire up the rivalry again. And then today, I see an interview in Espanol where Juan Soto's talking to a young gentleman, and he tells this gentleman, actually, everyone says that, you know, I went to the highest bidder, but there were five teams involved, and two teams offered more money than the Mets. And I don't know. My Spanish is rusty. I took advanced Spanish in high school. I also took some in college. I didn't follow the whole interview, but for me, I just was like, a few months later, like the SpongeBob meme, like, a few moments later. Like, this was so much later. Like, this was 4 months after the fact. Like, how come this wasn't reported? How come this didn't come out? Like, how come we weren't told about this? How come John Heyman didn't write an article about, hey, you know, Juan Soto picked the Mets and, you know, the Boston Red Sox and, I don't know, Toronto Blue Jays offered more. We know the Yankees didn't offer more. But again, I arrive at, who cares? Juan Soto, you don't have to save face. You don't have to save money. You have so much money, it's going to save itself for your grandkids' grandkids. Like, what is the shame in saying, I took the best deal for the Supreme Court of Soto. And that's the thing, right? They're saying it is a family vibe. I saw Howie Rose lean in, Andy Martino lean in. Like, no, guys, listen. It's not the money. It's the familyness. It's the family vibes. The Mets are a family welcoming place. Alex Cohen. I'm just like, oh, my. Like, how long are we going to do this? We get it. You also got a suite and four premium tickets for your famous reggaeton singer friends, and you got a clothing allowance. Like, were all of these other teams throwing that in? No, Juan Soto is a family man. He made the best decision for his family that was probably already here in New York. That's a big factor too, right? We don't have to relocate. We don't have to go very far. We don't have to go across the border to Canada. We don't have to go up shipping up to Boston. But ultimately, dude, like, we know the Steve Cohen contract, and shout out to David Stearns, who probably helped structure that contract, and the AAV going up and the incentives. If you win MVP and now the odds are out, Juan Soto is one of the favorites to win MVP. Juan Soto is actually, I think, MLB.com, Juan Soto comes in ahead of Shohei Ohtani as a favorite for the 2025 National League MVP. What is the harm in this point now? It has been months. What is the harm in saying, man, I took the highest offer. I was always going to the highest bidder, and this was the best for my family, and it was the most money.
He is being truthful. That's the problem. He is being truthful. A lot of Yankee fans don't need to like the truth, but he's being truthful.
A lot of baseball fans don't want to accept this as truth. That's what I'm seeing, too.
And that's the part that that Mets fans have to understand, is that the Mets organization has been perceived to be a joke before Steve Cohen. That was the perception.
In the world would you choose that joke of a franchise?
Exactly. So Yankee fans, baseball fans aren't used to the fact that a 26-year-old Hall of Famer who might be the best free agent to come out in the last 20 years said, you know what? I don't care about the money. Yes, I'm making $800 million probably wherever I go, and that's more than enough, but I think I could win the most in Queens. That's it. That is it. He thinks he could win with the Mets more than any other team. That's what it comes down to. I don't want to talk about this either. Martino tweeting that, and again, you saw the tweet, regarding this person, and this is Martino, per sources with direct knowledge, it was clear that multiple teams, including Boston, had a willingness to exceed the high offer if they knew Soto would agree. So if they knew Soto would say yes, they would have went for $850 million, whatever. It's okay. He chose the Mets. He wanted to be a Met. That's the end of the discussion. He wanted to be a Met.
And I'm fine with that, honestly. Like, at this point,
of course, because
like,
you're a normal human. You're not in the coping phase anymore.
It's just so corny. How long are we going to do this?
To be fair,
Soto's going to crack a smile on opening day, and they're going to be like, he's not really happy. He's pretending, just like he pretended in right field with the Yankees. Juan Soto's all about himself.
To be fair, he also didn't, like, go out and say this by himself. He was asked. And he was not, like, he was asked. It's not like he wanted to get this out there. He was asked, and we can only take him at face value. I can't assume that he's lying. That's ridiculous. So I can only take him at face value, and if the Spanish translation was correct in the video, and I have no reason to believe it wasn't, then I'm going to take him at his face where that other teams offered more money, but he wanted to be a Met. That's it. He wanted to be a Met. It's okay. This never happens to the Mets. This never, ever happens. That is why. That is why Mets fans are like, because this never freaking happens.
Welcome to the future. The Yankees have beards. They stop playing New York after losses. And one of the best players in the sport wanted to be a Met. It's crazy, right? We knew we'd get here one day, right?
Right, and that doesn't take anything away from the Yankees, by the way. It's not like the Yankees aren't in the basement. The Yankees have a top five payroll.
Hey, well, from what I gather, the Yankees are going out of business now that Juan Soto, rather be across town.
No, I'd much rather be concerned with the situation of Giancarlo Stanton and Luis Gil and what they're going to do to replace that offensive with the missing offense and DJ LeMahieu. I would be concerned about that if I was a Yankee fan. The last thing on my mind would be what the hell Juan Soto chose 3 months ago, like you just said. The last thing on my mind would be that.
Yeah.
When is J.D. Martinez coming? When are we trading for Nolan Arenado?
Scott Efros, Clark Schmidt, Tyler Matzik. I'm not on that Juan Soto stuff. I'm really not. But this was the week where I'm like, man, this stuff is just going to continue on. And it's going to be, I don't know, it's going to be exhausting as radio hosts. We're going to have to react to this nonsense all the time. 888-808-1019, 1 hour down, 4 hours to go. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I will be right back.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.